feel like
because
that's definitely true.
Sometimes I do think like that often too, but then there's also these like random moments where I'll be like, I am a size 2, so
yo,
I'm an
order
a size small. And then it comes and I'm like, what the fuck? They don't make clothes the same
I'm
anymore.
Bella Hadid. Yeah.
Friends by Accident.
Podcast host on purpose. This is what you get when two Canadian women who come from completely different backgrounds serendipitously meet in a Brooklyn apartment.
This is Accidental Friends with Aline Deggian and Kristen Mandela.
Sure is.
Kristen Mandela.
I do like how you say my name. It's very satisfying.
I feel like in a weird way, like I'm trying to like, you know, whenever
like
a
ASMR?
Song kind of like,
oh,
yeah,
like you're trying to fade it in.
I'm fade out. Yeah.
I like that.
Fade
into the combo.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to fade into the combo.
I also think
it
just,
sure
it's in
working.
Our minds so specifically now that I actually don't think I could say serendipitously any differently if I had to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm like
serendipitously.
Actually.
And also it would be so weird to put your name first.
Yes.
Like that would feel
like it just, yeah, it flows. Yeah. It is what it is. It's completely cemented into our brains.
Yeah. So today's topic is getting into our relationship with food. And I feel like it has been a journey this year for actually both of us.
Big time.
Me with gaining a bit of weight. I find my relationship with food had a direct impact on how my body changed. And Chris, you went through a bit of a...
Oh, yeah.
Revelation.
I did, yeah. Do you want to go into yours first? I feel, or I can, whatever you think.
Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I think right off the bat, obviously, I'm just going to put like a few caveats out because that's how my brain works now with the internet being like, I don't want anyone to think that this is like advice or whatever.
Right.
And I don't think anyone would, but just in case. Relationships with food is so personal and there's so many intersections of like culture and generation and accessibility and food, like money and all, anyways, whatever. I think we both have had really different relationships with food for a really long time, and they've gone through a lot of ebbs and flows and big changes. But this year has been really specific in terms of both of us in a really interesting way. From I feel like different perspectives, obviously, but I think reaching the same goal, which is like positive, if not neutral relationship with food. And I think that's kind of the hardest thing. I wanted to just bring up a few things off the bat, because obviously generationally we're both millennial and we both grew up in the 90s and the early 2000s when like diet culture and shit was so intense. And obviously it's never like, at least now I think it's also really toxic, but there's so much body positivity and there's so many people that are so outspoken that at least it gives a little bit of relief. I do find that I look back at like the J14 like magazines or like any of those,
I forgot about that,
and I literally am like, me and my friends after school used to come home and do crunches while watching Much Music.
Oh my gosh.
Because we wanted to get a flat stomach. And we were maybe 11, 12, like
how
really
old are
you young.
Be in a J14 magazine.
Yeah. So, and they had full ab routines like to get a flat stomach, like Hillary Duff or like whatever.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think I always thought I had a really good relationship with food because I was like, well, I don't have, like my metric was like, I don't think I'm unhealthy and I don't think I have an eating disorder, like also unhealthy. Like I think I'm like fine. So like I must be doing great. And then I'm like, oh no, like I've actually this entire time have had a really not good relationship with food. I just think I was disguising it really well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I mean, and that's something interesting that you learn like over time. Like that's the...
And I think genetically I was lucky I could get away with like really feeling like I always looked conventionally attractive in terms of my body size. So I was just like, I must be doing something right. And then inside I was like, shame, 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 you fat piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like so crazy that like I actually thought I was like totally had somehow skipped – it had just like near missed me. And then we talked about like a long time ago when we talked about the personal training that I got. And I'm like, oh no, like I've been like deeply indoctrinated into diet culture. And I have had a lot of people in my life, like close family members who are deeply fat phobic.
Yes. Yeah.
That even though I knew it was wrong, it still seeped in my brain. You know what I mean? So even though it was registering as like, well, you can't fucking say that. That doesn't make sense. Like that frame of logic or whatever. Like people being like, oh, well, everyone's got the same size skeleton underneath. And it's like, well, that's not actually fucking true. So, yeah. And you're not a doctor. So
you shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So I think, yeah.
I was going to say, I'm like, can revelation. I share something please, that I've please, come please. To a revelation yes. of? So God bless therapy. Mm-hmm. And it's so.
I'm so happy you're a therapy girly now.
I know. Me too. So years, like I've talked about it on the podcast of like how I came to learn to like love my body and this and that. And I was like, it's almost like going into therapy. It was like, well, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I like my relationship. I love my body. I'm this, blah, blah, blah. Like I'm okay. I'm happy, which I am. But it was so interesting because, my therapist gets me to do like exercises, which I love of like should statements and like what should replace them and blah, blah, blah. I had no idea that over the years, all in the whole time that I learned to love my body, and now that I'm in a place where I'm like, okay, I do want to lose weight. Like I feel like I just want to get a little bit stronger, a little bit leaner. And so I have stepped back on a scale for the first time in like 5-6 years, like literally not at all.
Wow.
And I thought I would intense. Be totally fine
yeah.
because I have a great relationship with my body. I love my body. Like what can this number on the scale do? But ooh. I had no idea how that was actually the reason I learned to love my body is because I stopped stepping on a scale. So we like figured out that as much as I've like come to terms with how much I love my body, I can accept my body as it is right now. I still have this like subconscious belief that I have to be a smaller size in order to be considered successful. Isn't that fucked up? And as I say it out loud, like when I would say it out loud, I was like, that's ridiculous. I was like, if my friend told me that, I'd be like,
you'd laugh in their face. Yeah.
I'd laugh in their face. I was like, that is ridiculous. And she's like, well, what like bums you out? I'm like, I could wake up. There's like, it's like my bedroom, a hallway, and then my bathroom in my condo. So I could wake up, look at myself in the mirror in my bedroom, go into my hallway, step on the scale, see the scale number, and then walk into the bathroom and look in that mirror. What is that? A matter of 30 seconds?
And feel totally and differently.
The two mirrors look different.
Right. Like, that's insane. Yeah.
Isn't that insane? And I don't think I even clocked that. Like I had no idea that I was even doing that and how I was stopping myself. I'm sure I was saying to her, I'm like, I'm sure just naturally I have not put myself out there in some capacity. I can't think of an example because I thought my body didn't look like what a successful person or like what a thing. Because in my head, I was saying this to her yesterday. I was like, I think if I had a successful business, if I had all these markers of success, of like a successful business, a happy relationship, but my body looked like this, there's the notion of, oh, she's like killing it in all these other aspects of her life.
What's going on here?
At the expense of her body, at the expense of taking care of herself.
Isn't that so wild?
Isn't that so wild?
I also feel like this is a very unique thing that happens. I guess we can only speak from like the women's perspective, but like I used to always think the same thing with clothing or with vacations where I'd be like, okay, well, I'll go and do this when I look like this.
Yeah. And I just went to Miami like in thing. And what did I tell you guys? I said, I will enjoy – I'm not going to enjoy it this time.
And enjoy it when I'm
– I'll go back and enjoy it when
we were like – honey, sweetie, baby, come on.
Baby girl, you're spending thousands of dollars on this trip.
You better have a fucking fun.
You're going there to not enjoy it. Yeah. Like you're like actually with the caveat being like, already sorry, baked guys, in being like, can't have fun.
But that's also a way of protecting yourself, right? Like at the end of the day. And I do think that we put so much pressure on ourselves. And I've always noticed this like before a trip or something. I'm like, oh, like why is it right before a trip I start feeling like my tummy issues get bad and my bloating gets bad and my skin gets bad? I'm like, I think honestly it's my
putting the stress
so much stress on myself to look how I look right now, but I'm eating different food and I'm drinking a bit more alcohol and I haven't slept well, so why would I expect to look how I do when I'm sleeping 8 hours? And you know what I mean? Like it doesn't make sense.
Your home setting.
I'm in my home setting. And I remember hearing this quote. I'm going to like completely botch it, but it's just like the fact that we're denying ourselves experiences, like just because of how kind of our vessel looks, like our body looks.
That's the most ridiculous.
And it's just, it is so ridiculous. And I think back so, even honestly, this weekend, I'm thinking back to, we just moved into my mom's condo for the short 2 months before Andres and I moved to Spain in November, and they have a rooftop pool. We should go. It's really fun. But didn't want to take my shorts off so badly because I was just like not feeling it, not feeling it. I was like, I don't want this to happen. I just don't want to show this part of my body. And I like they were all going to like walk to the pool and I was like, no, I'll just like sit. Like I'm not really hot enough to go swimming yet, like baking. It was like 42 degrees outside. And then I'm like, okay, like I recognized it at least. And I was like, okay, I should do it. But I wore like my biggest, most coveraged bottoms and I like slinked around to the side of the pool and like slunk in and I'm like, oh, this is so silly. Like
it's so silly
because in my brain I'm like, I am just a spiritual being having a physical experience and I should just be able to fucking have fun and not think like it's not interesting. My body is the least interesting thing about me. I'm with people that I know love me for me, even if I literally looked however in the world I looked. And still I'm like, oh, me, I wish I was little and tiny. It's like,
you know what else I think too? Sometimes I'm like, if it's like a specific part of my body that I'm focusing on, I've said this to other people when they're like, oh, but like this part of my body looks weird. I'm like, if someone is looking that closely at that specific part of your body, they're the weirdo. Right. You're not weird. Like they're the weirdo.
Is your kneecap a little strange to you? Yeah, I'd be like, hey, you're a psycho.
You're a psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think about it, if I don't have my toes done, I'm like, okay, if somebody's looking that closely at my toes, they're the weirdo.
Yeah, if they're looking at those dogs, that's on them.
Yeah, buddy. Let's
I totally agree with that. And I think that goes back to just, like, the self-centered. Like, I do think that insecurity, and I've talked about this with my therapist, too. When you are always so concerned about how you are perceived, it is intrinsically a self-centered mental framework.
Yeah.
Because you are constantly walking through life assuming that everyone is thinking about you, even though it's not positive. Like it's not narcissistic in the sense of like, oh my god, I'm the hottest piece of shit, everyone wants a piece of me. Instead it's being like, oh my god, I'm not cool and I'm a loser and I'm fat and I'm ugly and I'm whatever and everyone's thinking that and looking at me, which is also kind of a type of narcissism to be like, everyone is not also like, everyone's so wrapped up in their own shit,
so wrapped up in
and
it,
and to assume that anyone's taking time out of their deluded like minds to be like unpainted toes, interesting,
you know what I mean? And like, if you think about it, if people are thinking about you in that sense, like why are they concentrating so hard on you?
Totally. Like it's a red flag for them.
Exactly. Like all of these things, it's so funny because like in my, like when I'm talking to my therapist, I'm like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Like I know that sounds ridiculous. Like,
right. You're justifying. Yeah. You'll be like, no, I know. Like I don't actually really, like I know. Like
I'm aware how absurd this sounds.
Yes.
And I was like, I think about it that if my best friends came to me and said the exact same thing, I would be like on high alert, like if they came to me being like, I'm not gonna enjoy my Miami trip because I don't feel good in my body, I'd be like, that's it, you're having the most fun trip of your life, like that's how it's gonna work, you know what I mean? To show you, and
we talked about that before we went to Miami. You were like, if you ever said anything like this to me, I would literally laugh in your face. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm doing to you right now, I'm literally laughing
laughing in my face. So it's a very interesting it's a very interesting relationship.
Yeah.
And like, there's so many things that affect it too. Like,
100%.
It's not just like, I mean, I feel like, automatically we always blame media and like social media and all of this stuff too. But even I think about like my relationship to part of it, like, I guess body image and food comes from like being an actor for so long and consistently being told that like you have to be a small size to be accepted as pretty on TV. Like the number of times I was told that like you're only ever going to play the fat best friend. If you lost 20 pounds, you could play the hot girl in high school. Like all of these things all came with a caveat of like, you're good, you're pretty, you're just,
but what's getting in the way is your body. Size.
Fuck. Yeah. And I feel like I grew up with like almost this pissed off, I thought about this all the time too. Like it was almost like me not caring about what I ate was an act of rebellion. Like I was like, I'm not going to focus on what I'm eating. I'm not going to
count of spite, my calories almost.
Out of spite. Mm. But it's also like that can go the full well, opposite if it's out of spite, too,
it can
like,
be self-destructive.
Exactly. You're not.
It's not really an act of self-love. That's fascinating. I also feel like that was my perspective, funnily enough, because I actually felt like I was trying to be this like anti-diet culture person. Mm. So I was very much in the same camp. And I think it also came from like my glory days as a pick me girl, where I was just like, I'm not eating the salad. I'm getting the
good old
burger
days
and fries.
Of the
you know what I mean? Like I just yeah. wanted to be that person so badly. But it also yeah. was me trying to like flip the middle finger up to diet culture to be like, well, yeah. I eat an entire box of mac and cheese like every single night in college. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I never actually learned, like I misconstrued that with self-love because I was like, yeah. I love myself so much, I'm not going to deny myself anything.
I thought the exact same
right,
thing.
Which is so funny because I didn't actually think there was going to be that many through points in our experiences. So I'm actually very happy that this is happening.
I thought the exact same thing.
Because for so long, it was very impulsive. But in that impulsivity, I almost wanted to be this person that was like allowing other people to also feel like they could order whatever. So I'd be like, salads, oh fuck that. Like, what do you mean? Like, we're all going to get fries, right? Like, I was trying to like,
yeah.
But almost it's like pushing other people to do the same, like be self-destructive yes. too.
You know, I still battle with that now.
Wow.
Like, I still battle with that a little bit because I wanted to do that so bad and have it be like, guys, look, it's okay to eat the whole thing. It's okay to finish your food. It's okay to blah, blah, blah. And I still do that right now. Like, even if I'm trying to eat healthier. And for example, the best example is if we go out and we finish our food and they come around being like, does anyone want dessert? I do not want to be this person to say no, even if I don't,
you don't
want dessert.
Yes, okay.
And
I
also,
know.
I like need to make an effort to be like, no, I'm working towards a goal. I'm not going to have dessert right. for like it's not a.
But you'll be like, well, we're gonna. There's no harm in looking at the menu.
Yes,
that's my line.
I don't want to be the one to say no,
right?
Because I don't want someone to feel uncomfortable, be like, oh fuck, I did want dessert,
right?
And nobody at the table. Because I've been that person.
Yes.
I've been the person that like.
But then
wants
you're
dessert.
Already taking on labor that is not yours to take on, because that
exactly.
person needs to learn, like,
100%. But I also need to learn
yeah.
that.
I think that's so fascinating. I also was kind of thinking about the repercussions of, again, thinking about other people's experiences over your own, and then also yeah. wanting. I think what intersected with my experience was also like the stressful relationship with like food waste and whatever. So I'd be
well,
I don't want to lose. I when I came back from Kenya for yeah. the first time and I like had witnessed poverty and just like the idea that there is nothing to waste. And when I came back to Toronto and there is so much excess and so much wealth
so
and
much.
So much waste, I really struggled with it. So I almost like would overeat as a sense of like, well, I don't want to leave anything on my plate
yeah.
because I don't want to waste anything, even though I was like way past full. Like I'd be so over.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'd be like, no, like I'm making a point. And it really disconnected my brain from my body in terms of how I was eating.
You don't know when you're full.
I had
you
no
don't
concept.
Like you're not listening to
and
it.
And it actually
you're
was never
like,
even about my fullness. It was about the principle.
Yeah.
I got lost in the principle. And that made it really hard for me to ever listen to myself because I was just so focused on all these things. And I think that goes into my bigger issue, which is like politicizing everything. And that I think this will come up later in the episode where I'm always thinking about the global scale of my individual actions all the time. And I think it put a lot of pressure on my relationship with food early on. Again, I was not aware of this until quite recently, but I was putting a lot of pressure on myself constantly. And it completely, again, dissected my brain from my body. But I'd love to hear more about how your relationship with food now being in therapy, realizing that there's obviously still work to be done. Like, where are you now in this?
I think I'm like right now, I am really trying to listen to my body. Like, and I notice and I'm celebrating. I don't sit on the scale anymore. I was like, okay,
that's
it doesn't
great.
Matter whether
good
I don't, it doesn't matter where I am in my acceptance or any of that. The scale is what sways like, it ends up making me like disappointed. It makes me deflated, like all of these things. And maybe it causes more stress on my body that I'm not even aware of. So I haven't stepped on it and it feels amazing. But I'm celebrating the little wins of, what was it? The other day, we ordered lunch and I would normally finish the whole thing. But for whatever reason, that day, I just was not very hungry. Mm-hmm. I had half of it. And then we were driving up north and I saved it and I had the other half later. And I found that as like a win for me that I was like, I listened to my body when I was full.
Yes.
And I also later on, like as a road trip, it would be the minute I get on like a vacation or a road trip, I'm like, unhealthy eating starts now. So if I'm driving, I'm like, okay, yes, we get the burger. Yeah. Yes, we get the fries. It doesn't matter if I ate an hour ago. It doesn't matter if I'm not hungry. We're just getting it.
Yeah. For the plot,
essentially. Mm-hmm. And so it felt really, really nice to be making these like healthier decisions along the way. And I find there are so many times that I finish all my food and I feel uncomfortably full, mm-hmm. like uncomfortable, but I didn't want to waste it. I was like, you know, it was so good that I just wasn't even thinking while I was eating. Like I wasn't being mindful while I was eating. So I'm celebrating the things that I'm celebrating now are when I listen to my body, whether that's finishing my plate or whether that's only having half of it, three quarters of it, I don't know. I just like, I'm celebrating whenever I don't feel like so, so, so full to the max.
Right.
And I'm a big emotional eater, like big emotional eater.
Me too.
So for me, I'm stressed. I deserve a little treat.
Yes.
Something good happened to me. Girl, get yourself a treat.
Yeah.
Like something bad happened. Okay, let's go out, get some food and mm-hmm. it'll be make it all better. Something great happened. Let's go celebrate with a meal. Like everything revolves around food. And I do think that's also like a little bit of like a cultural thing. Like growing up, you were surround. It was like you go to my parents' house. I have so many friends that whenever they'd come over in high school and you didn't matter, we'd end up in the kitchen.
Right.
Like we sit in the kitchen around the kitchen table. And there's cheeses and meats and like olives and breads and it's packed. It's always packed. And my friends used to come over to my parents' house and raid my parents' fridge because my mom had like salad, like these like fun salads in the fridge and like snacks and mm-hmm. all of that stuff. So my house was not a house. Yeah, we were a food house. Like we – and in the best way that it was like whatever you wanted, we had.
That's amazing.
And I loved that. So I'm just – I like to have that as well. I think that's what I carry with me. Like I love that whenever we go to my parents' house, it's like, what do you want? You want this? You want this? We got this. Mm-hmm. We got this. So I like being that – even if I'm out at a restaurant, like I like being that person that's like, yeah, let's get it. Like just put it on the table. Yeah, like get it. Whatever. It doesn't matter because it's like you're kind of – celebrating around food. Like I do find food to be a celebration.
Yes. And that's, I think, exactly where culturally we dissect is that.
Yes.
I never felt like food until I really started dating Andres and realizing the cultural value that food has. I saw it as sustenance, as something that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I did see it in terms of celebration or like I'm a big sweet treat gal too. Like whenever I was like at a certain subway station, I'm like, well, my favorite cafes are on this thing and they have a really good carrot cake and I'm gonna go get them.
Yeah.
So I was like that as well. I am still like that. But I never really saw it in the sense of like having a certain dish that like really resemble or like means something for this or whatever. Other than like the classic like Christmas and stuff, but my family was like they were always good, but it just wasn't like a huge thing.
Like a good example for my family would be and it's like the most basic example, this is like basic example, is for every Christmas, Easter, birthday, whatever, my mom makes the good rice. And what the good rice is like, it's butter. Right. Like it is infused with butter.
Incredible.
It is so delicious, but it's like, that's just one thing that on holidays, we're always eating this rice.
Yes.
And she makes so much of it that we're like, is anybody else going to eat rice? Like there's so much rice, but it's amazing. It's so good. And that's just like one part of a much bigger spread.
Right.
Like there's 10 of us eating. We could feed 20 people plus leftovers. And we do. We all take leftovers and we eat the same. Yeah. Because it's just that's what it is.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So I like to think that that has a positive effect. Like I don't see a bad part in that. Like, why not? You know,
no, and I don't think that's like the negative aspects that we're thinking of.
Yeah.
I think it's how the media, our relationship with the food intersect with those things. And then it like changes and like corrupts our relationship with food. Because I do think that family, community, celebration, like those things are so tied to food and need to be so tied to food. And when they don't, like when they are not, is when I think the issues arise. Like when it becomes like just this idea for fuel. And I had written down that I wanted to talk about like that us being in the information age has done so much damage to my relationship with food. And I feel like so many people might relate to this as well in terms of just being bombarded with fucking information all the time of like, you eat seed oils? Well, welcome to gut cancer. You eat peanut butter? Oh, well, it has mold in it. You eat kale? Everything. Oh, well, it's GMO. Everything. And I'm like, okay, well, then what the fuck do we eat? Because I want to have olive oil and I want to have kale and I like peanut butter. So I don't understand. You know what I mean? Not that olive oil is a seed oil, but people are like, oh, it's cut with sunflower, whatever the fuck. Like, I don't care. And
there's so much.
Although I do think that there are probably real arguments to be made. We are the underlying thing that happens, I think, especially for young people, is like it's confusion and it's disorienting. Mm-hmm. And then it feels like you actually end up baking in shame because you're like, oh, well, this actually has a little bit of that thing that that person says is really bad for me. Oh, but I'm going to eat it anyway because that's all we have right now. Oh, that's going to be so bad. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where the damage comes in, where like that guy comes in. You know, that guy, he's like in a supermarket and he's like, this is why this gives you cancer. And then he's like holding up like an Oreo thing and he's like monosodium glyphosate.
Oh my god, I can't. Yeah, no,
that's what this is. And I'm like, okay, dude, like you're not wearing shoes and you're in a grocery store. Like, I'm not taking your advice. Like, I'm sorry. But I do think that that was
also, is this guy, is he on TikTok?
And on Instagram. I'll find him and I'll send him to you.
You have to.
But I think the issue is that I have always seen myself as being somebody very media literate, but especially in the early days when I was like really deep on the veganism, it was very easy for me to get caught up in a lot of this stuff. And it ended up being fuel for how I wanted to eat. So I'd be like, okay, great. Well, like processed meats is like stated as a state, like whatever stage one carcinogen or whatever it is, class one carcinogen. So that is actually great for me because I'm vegan. So I'm not going to eat like that. And it was always like this us versus them hierarchy of food. Although I wasn't outwardly very judgy of how other people ate, I was incredibly judgmental of how I was eating all the time.
Always.
And I think we talked about this a little bit, but I think I got a lot of a great sense of control and purpose from controlling my food. And although
– a lot of people feel that.
Absolutely.
A lot of people who have any kind of disordered eating, it's never about the food. Mm-hmm. It's about – it's always about the control.
Yes.
Where they feel that this is the one thing that they can control in their life.
And I think especially with my relationship with like the sustainability movement and the climate crisis, I've been like honestly for the past decade stressed out about the climate crisis because it's obviously such a real – like it's the realest and most dangerous thing facing our generation. And so it was my way of controlling that anxiety and fear was through my food. And although I still feel that in a little way, just to give context, I don't identify as vegan anymore. Like, I'm not a vegan anymore. And after like 8 or so years of eating that way, it was a really big deconstruction for me and how I understood food and my relationship with food. But it basically was born out of –
because that was a massive part of your identity.
Huge part of my identity, huge part of my life. Like, so as you were saying, like with your family, everything was built around food. My whole day was also structured around food in a way of like, especially when I was out of the house, was structured out like, of like, how am I going to be able to eat? What am I going to be able to eat? And it, that part exhausted me. Although I do think that I could keep eating, like it didn't end up like bothering me nearly as much as it probably could have. The biggest issue for me was that my entire life as a vegan, so for the past 8 years, I never really saw like chicken or eggs or any of these things as food. Like, it didn't look to me like if you were eating like a chicken breast, I wouldn't be like, that looks delicious. But like, not for me. I actually was like, that doesn't even look like food to me. It was like a very helpful thing that I guess either my brain, whatever. It just like the smell of it was not for me. Like when people were cooking meats, I was like, not for me. Cheese didn't even look appealing. It still doesn't really, actually, for some reason. Cheese is not really flipped for me.
Wow.
But I know, really weird. I just like have not been enjoying it. Maybe I need to, I'm sure when I go to Italy, I'll try some and I'm sure I'll be proven wrong. But here I have not been loving the cheese. But basically, at the end of last year, I was in Costa Rica and we were house sitting for my friend Scott, who lives like in the jungle, and he does permaculture, like sustainable agriculture work. And he gets fresh fruit, veg, and eggs delivered to his house every week from this local farm. And he had left us about like 16 eggs or whatever. And they were from like just down the street. A woman that has her farm delivers them to him. And I remember looking at these and I'm like, I could drive 30 minutes into town and try to find tofu or beans or whatever. Or I could crack this egg into this rice that I'm making right now. And I wouldn't have to go anywhere. And it's local. And I know it's organic. And it's as farm to table as you could physically get. Like literally, this is as sustainable really as you could make it. And I'm going to throw the eggshells into their compost bin that he has in his backyard that degrades and then turns into food for the plants. Like it's literally as closed loop circle as you could make something. And so I did, and I had the eggs and they were delicious. Obviously I couldn't eat, I wasn't at the point where I could eat like a fried egg. So it was just like broken up into a stir fry, which was great.
That's fine. Yeah.
But mask it. It really just felt like the right decision. And I kind of, from then, was like reflecting back onto all my times where I'd be traveling and I'd be like staying on a sustainable farm in the Galapagos. And I'd be eating plain rice with pineapple because I was like, I don't want to have the local eggs here because like eggs are exploitation. Yeah. And I'm like, I just think I got a little bit, I kind of lost the plot a little bit because at the end of the day, yes, it was for animal rights, but it also was for the environment and me feeling more closely grounded and connected to the environment. And that wasn't really happening with how I was eating, which is no fault to veganism itself. I just like, it wasn't serving me anymore.
The way you were.
The way I was doing it and my connection in operating. Toronto, it just like wasn't serving me and how I was eating and the access to like fresh fruit and veg. Anyways, so started eating eggs, had a few pieces of fish. Again, was good. Wasn't like, didn't blow my socks off or anything. It didn't feel like I kind of, I am actually very grateful and kind of relieved a little bit that it wasn't like this, like,
Yeah, you know like, I mean? The heavens opened.
The heavens opened, and like, I'm like, oh my God, I've been dying. Yeah. I was like, this was really good. We got it from like an indigenous fishing company, and we felt really good about supporting them with our money to be able to eat their fish that they caught. And, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, this tastes like how I remembered, and I knew it would taste good. Like, I didn't stop eating meat because I thought it tasted bad. That was never – it was because of the environmental and the animal impact. But I think still now, whenever I go to restaurants, if I can, I choose the veggie option. I think probably out of, like, just
natural
instinct. But it's also what I also feel flavor-wise most drawn to. But what happened even in Vancouver, there was a time where we were out, and I hadn't eaten for, like, all day, and there was, like, a chicken something. And I'm like, honestly – any food is better than starving myself. No. And that was what was happening before, is that I would have gone an entire day without eating anything for the principle of sticking with veganism, which I totally respect. Some people might still align with. But for me, it was getting to the point where I was literally controlling when I wasn't eating.
It was restricting your life.
It was so restrictive. And I realized that not only was I just really actually fucking hungry because of the way that I had been denying myself food and this type of control – but it was actually like limiting my ability to like be my best, the best version of myself, because I was incapable of feeling like fully charged, fully rested. It was taking up so much of my mental space, like my mental real estate was just like navigating these social things with veganism and feeling honestly hungry a lot and not satiated. So am I going out every single week and having a massive ribeye? Absolutely not. But I also feel like now I'm just not labeling myself as anything. If I would to be anything, it would be like, I don't know, whatever flexitarian is, like veggie, vegan majority of the time when I'm out or when I have control over things. It'll be a little bit more flexible just to make sure that I actually eat the food that my body needs.
For sure.
And like still getting things like vegan protein. I still prefer vegan mayo, to be honest. Like stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. It just,
your body also is now naturally going to change because like A, you were maybe not feeding yourself as much as you should have.
Probably.
And like a lot of proteins, like meat-based proteins or meat, chicken, any of that stuff are heavier.
Yes.
Like they are.
That was the biggest change that I noticed, was that I was far more satiated. My snacking has gone down significantly. And also since I'm running a marathon, I'm obviously far hungrier. So just being able to incorporate even a few eggs that we get from like a local market has been really helpful for me, just to be able to feel full and fueled and not like Yeah, yeah. Like I would eat and then like 25 minutes later, I'd be like down for a snack. Like when I was home alone, Andres was like, maybe keep like a food journal for like a day just to like see if you're getting the protein that you need. Cause I feel like you think that you're eating more than you are. And then I literally was thinking about the food that I ate that day. And I'm like, oh my God, I probably ate no food, like no real food. I snacked a shit ton and I had maybe one meal, but I skipped lunch. And then I'm going to have a massive dinner because I didn't really, you know what I mean? Like my eating was just so imbalanced. So it's definitely been a weird thing. I haven't really told anybody. I've told the people that I'm close to. Reactions have been strange.
Do you feel this new, because you were saying that veganism like grounded you in the sustainability movement and all of that. Do you feel any less, I guess, part of that? Do you feel further removed now that you're eating, you know, chicken on the off chance or whatever? Right. Like, do you feel further removed from the movement?
I actually don't. I thought I would, but actually most of the sustainability advocates that I follow, the activists, the people that are doing like what I consider really, really important work, are not vegan. And they might have started out as vegan, but have had a similar relationship as me in terms of like now maybe like from their local market, they get some butter or whatever, or they get like farm fresh eggs or whatever it might be. So I think that's been helpful for me. And I also just think for me, it's going to be helping my work going forward, because I think it's not that it matters to be relatable, but I think it's a really important story that I'm excited to become more comfortable sharing.
Yeah.
I definitely know I'm going to be losing some friends, like online friends in the vegan community for sure. And I understand that for them, it's literally speciesism. So it's not about my personal struggle with health. It's not about my personal relationship with disordered eating or anything like that. It's literally akin to another type of ism, like racism, anti-Semitism. Like it is the same as choosing.
Wow, really?
Yeah, speciesism. It's like a very real thing. Like you thinking that your life is more important than another life. That is just not human.
Because like you would mean that like because I'm vegan, I think my life is.
No, the opposite. Because you eat chicken, you think that you are more, your life is more important than the life of the chicken, which vegans do not feel is true. So like you eating a cow means that you are important. That cow's life is not important.
Wow. I had no idea this ism existed.
Yeah. And there are things that I do agree with it.
Holy crap.
Like I do think that there is like, I think there is a lot of ego in how we eat. Like when people want to have the craziest, most expensive, richest thing, whatever. Like there is some like ego and status symbol, whatever there that happens within food. But the vast majority, and that's what I'm realizing, is the vast majority of people are just trying to get by and trying to live and trying to enjoy their food and whatever. And although I do think that we have gone to an excess, like I don't think that we need to be eating animal products for every single meal. I also don't think that the planet can sustain that. I do think that at the same time, the fire needs to be like on the billionaires and Exxon and Shell and these massive corporations that are making it seem like it's our responsibility when really it's theirs. Mm-hmm. But I think that whenever people are able to, if you can buy from local farmers, have relationships with those people that grow your food, the for better sure. not only you will feel, but also the better it is for the environment and for like the our local economy, like our localized food economies. And I think that's really important. Those things are still very ingrained into me, I still believe. And I don't eat pork. I haven't been able to do that. That's not really fine for me. And obviously like veal, lamb, any of that will not be happening. But I'm just leaving myself open to, I tried a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
See what you like.
Haven't been like blown away by anything really. It's just, it's been more the idea that I'm not worried about not eating, like not being able to eat. And that has been
restricted.
A huge relief.
Yeah.
And that That's in massive. Itself, I think, is really invaluable to me, is just being like, okay, I can go out in the world and whatever's out there, I can figure it out. And it's not going to be an undressed salad with a side of fries. Like it's going to be an actual nutrient dense meal.
Yeah. And you're not like nitpicking, like, sorry, is there this and this? Is there this and this? Is there this?
Like, that's been the biggest thing is just that sense of relief of like, if I go out with Andre's family, we don't have to completely change the restaurant just so I'm able to eat something. I still mm-hmm. will modify stuff a little bit if I have, like, because I'm still gluten-free, not by choice, which fucking sucks. But that stuff still has to happen. But overarchingly, yeah. it's such a relief to be able to just yeah. feel like, okay, I can handle this.
It's fine.
And it's going to be fine. Yeah. And it doesn't say anything about me being a bad person. And I think that was the part that I had to deconstruct the most, is that I literally felt like my morals were tied to how I was eating all the time. Yeah. And that was just a really heavy burden to place upon myself. That feels like
an exhausting thing to deal with.
It was. It was really tiring, to be honest.
Like, to think about that. But I find it funny that you said this about, like, food is like it's like a sign of wealth and all that. Mm-hmm. But I think that is a really big thing. So my dad says this all the time. And I think that's why he's so – my dad is very much the one that when we're out and I'm like, oh, on the menu, if I was like, this looks good, he's like, get it.
Right.
Just get it. Order it. And, like, we won't wait is it waste like- in the sense of, like – if it comes and I like one piece of it or I don't, whatever, like, we will take stuff home if there's, like, too much at the table or whatever. But it was a sign of wealth. It was a sign that, you know, if your table is full, you are rich.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be, like, you know, like Wagyu beef, or you're not getting, like, gold-plated, mm-hmm. gold-covered chocolate cake. But he wanted to make sure
that you guys knew that you didn't have to worry about anything.
The idea of not having to worry about food on your table or when you're going to eat or if you're going to eat, that's a sign of wealth.
Right.
Like, baseline. You could spend $10 on a meal, but if it's a ton of food mm-hmm. and you're not worried about whether you're going to be full or satiated or whatever, that is a sign of wealth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I always really struggled, because my parents were not almond parents that was like, okay, like, you gotta eat this or blah blah blah, like, any of us. I didn't grow up with almond parents. I grew up with Middle Eastern Armenian yes. parents that was like, we had full tables all the time and we ate really well.
I love that.
And we enjoyed eating too, so it was really hard. It was like it felt very difficult to almost like navigate like the media world of, oh, I should be counting my calories.
Right. And you're
oh,
like, why I should would I do be. That?
I'm like, how? I don't know how. Like, whenever, if you ask like my mom how she makes something, she's like, I don't know. You like add a dash of this and like, you add a little right. bit of this. And like,
it's an intuitive I don't know if it needs more. Thing.
It's an intuitive thing. So I don't know how to count calories of like, how much tomato paste did I use, or like how much whatever. I don't know.
I have no a question idea. For you. Did you ever use MyFitnessPal?
I do. Yeah, I was using it. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I was saying, like, so, that is the telltale sign of a millennial who has struggled with eating.
For sure. Using so that fucking that's, app. That's the thing, is like, when I started to be like, okay, I really actually want to lose weight, I looked up like how many calories I need, I mostly looked up what my protein intake would be for the day. Right. I tried to minimize my sugars and blah, 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 but I hated putting stuff into my fitness pal. The one thing I will say though is I did it for, I don't know, like a few months, and it did show me that my portion sizes that I was eating were just way too big. They just were way too big.
Interesting.
And
I guess that is a helpful thing.
It was helpful in that sense, but like I can't sit there and be like, oh,
like scanning your Greek yogurt. Like
one tablespoon of olive oil in this entire meal, and like we're both having it for dinner for whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that. I hate feeling restricted. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, the fact that you were vegan, like, it annoys me to feel restricted. In
are they going
to
say it annoys me that you were vegan?
Oh, yeah. I feel like, very true. Irritating. No, it annoys me to feel restricted in like any capacity of my life. So right. when I was like counting calories and I'm like, oh, I don't have the calories for
but I think
that left in my day.
Yes.
I hated it.
But I think we're also people that don't like being told what to do very much. And I think this whole you and I both kind of acting out of spite a little bit.
Yeah.
When you're told, okay, well, you only have 100 calories or whatever left for the day, I'd be like, bet. I'm eating 5.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. You can't tell me what to do. And literally. That's where, like, I remember my brother and I are so similar like this, where it's like, if, and my mom, if she ever listens to this, will laugh, but it's like, if we were about to, in our minds, take out the recycling, and my mom's like, hello, can somebody take out the recycling? I'm like, you just fucked it up. No, I'm not going to do it. You just messed it up. I'm not
Chris,
doing it now.
No, we're like that in this house. It's so bad. We are like that in this house. And I'm like, hey, he could be getting up from the couch to go take out the garbage. And I'm like, hey, can you take out the garbage? He's like,
you fucked it up. You ruined
it. Now I'm mad that you said it. I don't want to do it. Now I'm like, oh my God. I'm like that too. We're both exactly like that.
Just some people just do not like being told what to do.
I hate it. I hate it.
My brother and I are those people.
Oh my God, Mike, I'm with you there. Yeah. Like it pisses me off. Yeah. So I think that's where I would get like pissed about diet culture, but it's almost
like. And then
like,
you're like, fine, I'm going to get the extra, whatever.
Yes. But then it's
but
like,
you don't even want it.
To my detriment. To my detriment. It is. I don't want it sometimes, but it's to my detriment. But I'm just trying to make the point that, like, look, I'm not affected by society's.
But then
whatever.
You're like, But then you're like, oh, my fitness pal.
I can't
pal
step on a scale without, exactly, without crying about it on my way to the washroom. Like, it's a messed up thing that we deal with.
Yes. But I do
and
think
I will
that
say also, sorry, last thing. Women are not the only ones that deal with it. I do think that, like, men go through it as well. And I feel like it's not as common or maybe just not as
spoken about.
Spoken about, yeah. That men deal with that too.
I totally agree. And that actually goes back to something that I meant to bring up earlier and I forgot. So thank you for inadvertently reminding me that they did this study with diet culture in women and in men, in that when they look at themselves in the mirror, women see themselves as 15 to 25% bigger. Like their brains actually project themselves being larger than they are. And for men, it's the opposite. So men, because again, how we've conveyed like this idea of masculinity and strength being like the utmost thing that we value in men. They feel like they need to be bigger. We feel like we need to be smaller. So our brains actually like take that image and make ourselves like when I'm looking at the mirror, I think I look bigger than I could potentially do in real life. And I feel like that must be true because there's no way that's not true. Like, I feel like
because
that's definitely true.
Sometimes I do think like that often too, but then there's also these like random moments where I'll be like, I am a size 2. So,
yo,
I'm
I was just trying to say.
Small. And then it comes and I'm like, what the fuck? They don't make this. They don't make Bella clothes Hadid. The same anymore. Yeah. Like, I will order something and be like, that's going to look stunning on my body. And then I'm like, oh yeah, the model is 5'8", 120 pounds. Yeah. I am 5'3".
What was with
I
that
was
growing
120
up? Like, pounds 120
when I was pounds
was seen
old.
As like the fucking benchmark. Where did that come from?
I don't know. Probably like somebody made it up.
For sure, because I have not been. I also have to say, like,
pounds? What does that even mean?
Pardon?
There's no way 120 pounds. When was the last time I was 120
pounds? I have no concept.
Pounds?
But I remember always thinking, as soon as I got over 120 pounds, I thought that I was overweight. And you know what's weird is that even my doctors and stuff. Anyways, we'll have to have this conversation another time. Like it could continue forever. But like the comments on my body, even growing up, have been so weird. Where like they'd be like feeling my stomach and being like, "You should really start doing more stuff." And I'm like, well, "I don't know why you have to comment on that right now." Like,
weird. Yeah, it's weird.
But
anyways,
we're both.
I feel
beautiful.
Like we went off on a bunch of tangents, but that was all just over the place, know but that I loved if it. If you do have the weird, funny relationship with food, you are absolutely not alone. And yeah, we're all just learning as we go. You know what I find really funny is years ago when we did this an episode on body positivity, it was my 30th.
Yes.
And in like it's almost like, oh, who needs another episode on body positivity? We did that. But how much can change in 2 years.
Holy shit,
because I'm
yeah.
like relearning how like the things that worked for me then are I'm like struggling with now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
it's so true.
It's like new things that I need to learn on how to love and accept my body at this size. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just a very interesting. It's like you don't ever really stop. Like, you know,
yeah.
you don't ever really stop trying to love yourself because loving yourself is an act of rebellion in this
yeah,
world.
Bitch.
I
anyway,
believe.
Use Accidental Friends for tummy tea, 20% off. Imagine.
I've been shitting for days.
No joke. Did I tell you the story? How I literally bought one of these. It was called I know.
Didn't.
It was a lot of years ago, though. It was like probably 2015. Christ. And I got one of these skinny tummy teas or whatever.
Were you literally attached to the toilet?
No, you have no idea.
Like
I was doing it. I thought it was because it says like increases bowel movements, does these things, detoxes, all these words that I had been told was good. I was working my first ever office job. I was an executive assistant to the CEO of this guy, this company.
And you were pooping all the time.
No joke. I can't even express to you how embarrassing it is within an office environment to get up every 4 minutes and go to the bathroom for 10 minutes to shit your brains out. Like, it was I couldn't believe what was coming out of me. It was horrifying.
Did you feel thinner at the end of it?
No, I felt sick and my butt hurt. And I was hungry. I probably looked skinnier for like a day, but it was just water weight. I was so dehydrated. I almost passed out on my way home from work on the car. Like, it was actually,
My God.
It was hilarious.
I don't really see much of those anymore. And maybe it's because I filtered like my
I also think that they were all like unregulated. So I think that they probably got shut down a little bit. But yeah, I actually ended up falling for that. And it was like this loose leaf tea and it was in really cute packaging and it made me absolutely shit myself. Yeah, it was bad.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that's the end of that story.
Okay, well, that's it, guys. Anyway, use code AF.
No.
I'm just joshing. Don't get those detox teas. You're going to be pooping yourself for days.
But now, actually, we live kind of closer, so let's get back on social media and post fun things together because I miss you.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, bitch. All right, thanks for listening to us. Thanks for hearing us.
Thanks for hearing us, you guys, with your ears.
This has been Accidental Friends with Aline and Kristen. This podcast was created by us and produced by Chloe Jackson. Thank you so much for listening. You can check us out on Instagram, Accidental Friends Podcast, TikTok, Accidental Friends. And don't forget to subscribe, share, and please leave us a review. We love you, and we'll see you on Thursday.